In last Sabbath sermon, Mr. Armstrong gave the sermon on coming out of sin from 1985. And also in this Unleavened Bread sermon, which we're going to hear shortly from Mr. Armstrong as well, called Challenged from 1981, Mr. Armstrong mentions a particular scripture. And that scripture, if you'd like to turn with me to it, is Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And he particularly refers down to Colossians 2 verse 16, where it says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moons of the Sabbath days." Now, he doesn't deal with the subject I'm going to talk about today, because when reading this particular passage here, we obviously are keeping a holy day today, and we keep the holy days of God. We also keep the Sabbath days as well. But the question I want to ask today is, what about the new moons? Why don't we keep new moons? Why in the church do we not keep the new moons? What's the reason for that? Now, this particular passage you hear in Colossians chapter 2, it does cause some consternation to various people as they read it. But what they don't realize is they don't read it in the context that you find it in, and they don't realize what was going on at that particular time. And if you look at this context, it says, notice in verse 4, it says, "And I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." It was something coming from men. There was a problem that was coming from men that was being dealt with. It also, you get another hint of what was going on in verse 8. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men." So it was not only was it coming from men, but the problem was coming from men in a philosophical sense. And you can also find out over in, say, verse 22, it says, "Which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men." It's talking about a voluntary humility in verse 18, worshipping of angels. And also it's talking about touch not, taste not, handle not in verse 21. When you put all the scriptures together, it becomes fairly clear, and you also know a little bit about what was going on at the time. It becomes very, very clear that it was some form of an ascetic philosophy that was being applied to the church, and people were bringing it into the church. It was coming from a Gnostic heresy, and the word Gnostic means knowledge, it means hidden knowledge, and it's what we commonly call today in the Jewish circles would be the Kabbalah. Now, when we're looking at where it talks about "let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or new moons or Sabbath days," it was clear that they were being judged by these individuals who held this philosophy. They were being judged, and it can actually be translated, "let no man therefore judge you in eating and drinking," something that we do also today here on this holy day, is eating and drinking. Because the philosophy that they had, as far as the asceticism is concerned, or the Gnostic heresy, was to apply asceticism to the problem of appeasing for sin. So in other words, you work your way through, you appease God for the sins you have, and you work your way through by being ascetic, by applying an ascetic lifestyle and having certain philosophies. And Kabbalah route through this Gnostic heresy, which the Gnostic heresy, by the way, covered all kinds of different philosophies, all kinds of different religions in the Roman world. But in the Jewish side of things, what they would base it on was the Jewish sacrificial system. They'd actually base it on the Jewish sacrificial system, although they wouldn't have sacrifices, because the only sacrifices that you could offer would be offered in the temple. But all the system, all the washings, all the ordinances, all the various do's and don'ts, and everything to do with the sacrificial system, they would then use in a philosophy of men to apply to appease sin. So, in this particular, when you put it into context, when you understand what was going on, when you read verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in eating or drinking," which is what we do on the holy days, "or in respect of a holy day, new moon, or the Sabbath days." Now, were they observing the new moons at that time? It may be that they were observing the new moons, but not the way the philosophers reckon they needed to. They are undoubtedly observing the Sabbath, undoubtedly observing the holy days, but not the way the philosophers or the Kabbalists intended them to do, because they weren't applying all these various rules and regulations that they'd concocted from the law of Moses to appease for sin, to be applied in all these various aspects and the way that they were applying them. So as I say, the new moons, they may have been observing them in the sense of looking at the new moons. Now I say, why is that? Well, let me ask you the question. How is it that you know that today you should meet for the first day of unleavened bread? How do you know? How do you know it's today? Well, basically, the Jews hold that decision, the ordinances, the traditions coming from that time. The Jews hold that, and we go to them to set the calendar. And they set the calendar in these days by calculation. But at one time, they may have gone ahead and used a combination of calculation and also observation as well. And it may be that they were actually observing in the sense of just noticing, well, it's a new moon, therefore this is the time, from this time to the beginning of the month, and therefore the new moons therefore set the holy days. But the reason why we don't keep new moons, if we turn over to Leviticus 23, this then gives the reason why we observe the Sabbath days, we observe the holy days, but we don't observe the new moons. And the reason is because in Leviticus 23 and in the rest of Scripture, there is no command to observe new moons. New moons were merely used as a means of setting the calendar. And we do that, we leave that to the Jews. It's been very clearly shown that we are to do that. Mr. Armstrong certainly has indicated that very, very strongly. And the calendar, therefore, being set by the Jews, we therefore follow the calculated calendar today. It's still in line with the new moons that can be seen from Jerusalem, but it's done via calculation. And here in chapter 23 it says, "And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them concerning the feasts of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, holy gatherings. Even these are my feasts." So here are the feasts of God. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation, a holy gathering. There's the first feast being mentioned, the Sabbath that we have every week. You'll do no work therein, it's the Sabbath the Eternal on all your dwellings. These then, and then he's starting going on to the next group, these are the feasts of the Eternal, even holy convocations, holy gatherings, that you shall proclaim in their seasons. So here are the annual holy days. And the first one, it says the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. So you find that the first one is a gathering, it's a convocation, it's a feast day, but it's not a Sabbath. It's not a Sabbath day. And that's the Passover. But on the 15th day of the same month, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the seven to the Eternal, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And in the first day, you'll have a holy convocation, do no servile work therein. There's the first day, and there's the day that we're in today. And it says in the seventh day is a holy convocation, do no servile work therein as well. And you can go through, right through Leviticus 23, and it gives you very clearly the feasts of the Eternal, starting with the Sabbath, including Passover as well, but the Passover is not a Sabbath, not an annual Sabbath, but it's still a feast day. And you go through all the rest of the Leviticus 23, no mention whatsoever is made of new moons. So new moons are not to be observed like feast days and holy days. New moons are observed in the sense of you go outside and you look in the sky in the west and you see the faint crescent. But again, that's to be observed where? Not here, but down in Jerusalem. So there's a central world calendar, and that is in the hands of the Jews as of today. The third area that I want, the third scripture I want to go to is in Psalm 81. Because there is actually a new moon that we do observe, that we do keep. And it mentions it here. It gives the indication here within Psalm 81. And some people will actually use this Psalm 81 to say, oh, well, we should go ahead and keep new moons. Psalm 81, verse 1, it says, "Sing aloud to God our strength, make a joyful noise to the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp and the psaltery. Blow on the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on a solemn feast day, for this was a statute of Israel and a law of the God of Jacob." So you say, ah, it's a law, therefore we've got to keep new moons. Well, again, let's just read that verse 3. blow on the trumpet in the new moon, and it says in the time appointed in the King James. You go and look it up in the original, and it actually says in the full moon. Okay, it's not just in the new moon, it's in the full moon as well. And those new moons and full moons, new moon and full moons, are on our solemn feast day. So what new moon do we celebrate? There's only one. There's one new moon that we celebrate. That's the Day of Trumpets. And that's when you blow the trumpets on that new moon. The full moon, however, today is observing the full moon, because the full moon was last night when this day started. The beginning of Tabernacles is also on the 15th of the month. That is a full moon. And all three of these areas are to do with our solemn feast day. So it very much fits in with what we find over in Leviticus 23. It in no way gives any command there for the fact that we should go ahead and keep the new moons. There's no command there whatsoever. It's talking about the feast days. It's talking about the way in which we should keep the feast days. If God had clearly said that we should be keeping new moons, then we would be keeping new moons, guaranteed. No question about that at all. But the fact is that he doesn't say that. They were observed in the sense of being watched, but they were to be watched specifically in Jerusalem, so that the whole earth keeps the same calendar. And in the same sense, in that sense, the Jews have done that today, and they're doing it by calculation. They do it by calculation, and it is in their hands that the calendar, with other oracles as well, has been entrusted. The other oracle specifically is the actual preservation of the Hebrew scriptures themselves, which they are preserving for us. So yes, perhaps in Colossae they were actually looking at the new moon. They were observing the new moon in the sense that they observed that it came at a certain time, so they knew when to keep the feast days. But they weren't keeping it, and they weren't observing it the way that the Gnostic heresies that they had there were saying that they had to do it. They weren't doing it according to Kabbalah, according to the mystery ideas and the religion that was extant at the time. But the reason that they watched for it, and the only reason for watching for new moons at all, is so that we can keep the feast days. That's the purpose of the new moon. It's not something which is on a level playing field in any way with the feast days themselves.